It really is quite humbling every time I see those testimonies and hear Joe's description of the work of Challenge Ministries in Swaziland. But again, I just want to say thank you for your support in allowing what we are able to do out there and the way in which we're able to serve out there. Can I just ask you to turn, if you have a Bible, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 31. I'm going to read it to you shortly. You know, each one of us at times in our lives will face difficulties, hey? Yep. Put your hand up if you've never faced a difficulty. We've all faced difficulties and we've all faced our own giants. But the challenge is, how do we deal with the challenges? How do we deal with the giants that we face? Do we allow the challenges to defeat us? Do we run away from them? Or do we overcome them and allow those difficulties, allow those circumstances to grow our character? James chapter 1 verse 2 says, when trouble comes your way, consider it pure joy. Say joy.
Joy.
2 Timothy 2 verse 3 says, endure suffering as a good soldier. Endure suffering. And when the two spies in Numbers 13 and 14, when they return from having searched the land, and you know the story where 12 were sent out, 10 came back, gave the negative report, 2 came back, gave the report, and this is what they said. It says this, they say this, the two positive reports. It says, do not be afraid of the giants in the land. It is true, they're there. But do not be afraid of the giants in the land, for they are our bread. Say bread.
Bread.
They are our bread. In other words, the giants that are there for our good. Now I like bread, as you can probably see. I enjoy bread. And bread's good for you. It grows you. And what that is saying, what I believe that the word of the Lord is saying there, is consider the giants to be your bread. Consider the giants to be something that develops you. And obviously over the last 5 weeks, I've put quite a bit of weight on being back here. I've eaten a bit too much bread. But bread grows you, it develops your character, and that's what I believe the word of the Lord is saying in that word, in that verse. Do not be afraid of the giants, for they are bread for us. And this morning I want to briefly encourage us all to face our giants. To allow the giants, to allow the circumstances, to allow the difficulties in our life, in our lives, to be our bread. The financial crisis that you're facing, the relationship trouble that you're having, the ministry problems, the work issues, the health crisis, it's your bread. The challenge is, are you going to face it? In God's word and with His grace, are we going to face it, or are we going to turn away and we're going to run from it? Are we going to run away from the problem? Are we going to pretend it's not there, push it under the carpet? Run away from it. I tell you, if you do that, if you choose to do that option, one, the bump in the carpet's always there for you to face the next day. One, when you run away from it, sooner or later you will come back to it. You will face it in another time, in another era perhaps, but you will face it. So in other words, we have to face it now and walk through the circumstance. Walk through. I don't know where you are. I really don't. I know we're in Erdington in Birmingham, but I don't know where you are spiritually in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what difficulties, I don't know what circumstances you're going through. But the challenge for us all, and the challenge that we have to face, and the challenge that every child in our ministry, the 350 children that we work with day in, day out, the ladies that live in the communities, that have to struggle each and every day, the challenge that we all face is, are we going to allow the challenge to allow victory in our lives? Or are we going to allow the challenges to crush us? Are we going to overcome them and get the victory and allow them to be our bread? Let's turn very briefly to 1 Samuel 17, verse 31. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Don't worry about this Philistine, David, Saul told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do this to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who rescued me from the claws of the lion and of the bear, will rescue me from this Philistine. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Bless it, Jesus. So the odds are stacked against this boy, David. This beardless young boy sitting by a brook. And picture the scene. He's looking for a stone and he's picking up his stone. He's trying to find the best stone and he pops each good stone. He looks for it, the perfect stone, and he's there and he's washing it and he puts it in his pouch. There we have Goliath on the other side, standing above him, 9 feet tall, wearing 125 pounds of armor, and snarling like a character out of the wrestling matches that we see on the TV. He's there, come on, who's going to fight me? Who's going to bring bring me down? Who's going to, come on? And he shouts out, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. He's snarling, come on. And here on the other side we have this young boy David. The odds are stacked against him. The odds are stacked against him. And very often it seems as if the odds are stacked against us, eh? Very often it seems as if everything is against us. The odds are stacked against us. Okay, maybe your giant doesn't brandish some sword or wield the, you know, says, come on, fight with me. But our giants are just as real. Just as real. Unemployment. Abandonment. Sexual abuse, depression. Your giant doesn't parade up and down the road of Erdington. But he does come into your office. He does come into your bedroom. He does come into your place of work. He does bring you bills that you can't pay. Deadlines that you can't make. People that you can't please. Alcohol that you can't resist. Pornography that you can't refuse, a career that you can't escape, a relationship that you can't forgive, a past that you can't shake, and a future that you can't face. They're real giants out there, hey? They're real giants that we have to face day in, day out. They're real giants that our children, that our families have to face day in, day out. There's one lady recently whose daughter was taken to hospital. She was an old lady, a go-go we call her in Swaziland. And she had to face the incredible giant, the incredible decision. She had a young granddaughter who had to go into hospital for some urgent medical care. Bearing in mind we have no medicines in our hospital. We can't. The government has no medical aid. There's no NHS. And the only way that you can get treatment is by you, by members of your family going into the hospital with you and caring for you in the hospital. There's no nursing as such. And so the go-go had the difficult decision whether to leave her young, very young children at home, very young grandchildren at home, or whether to go into the hospital with her other granddaughter. There were no other family around. So she would have to leave the 4-3-year-old at home to fend for themselves, or go into the hospital and hopefully fight for her granddaughter's life. Those are the issues that many in Swaziland are having to deal with, that we are hopefully bringing hope into their desperate circumstances. And so we all have giants we must face. But the challenge for us is, where is our focus? Do you see your giant? There he is, whatever it is. But is he all you see? Is he all you see? For David, he saw more than his giant. For David saw more. Because David's first discussion was not about Goliath at all. It was about the Lord. He says this: "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David's focus was not on what was in front of him, this 9-feet-tall giant with strapping armor on. He was not in fear of his life. But David's first discussion was God. David's eyes were focused on God. These soldiers mentioned nothing but the giant. Saul mentioned nothing but the giant. His brothers talked about nothing but the giant. David turns up. He talks about nothing more than God. His focus was upon God. He says, "The Lord who delivered me will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." God! There's hope! No one else discusses God, but David discusses no one but God. All eyes except David's fall on this brutal giant, but David majors on God. He sees the giant, of course he does, but he sees God more. Look carefully at David's battle cry. He says, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you." I'm telling you, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of these armies of Israel. David sees God, and rather than seeing the giant as a problem to overcome, he sees him as bread given from God. Say bread given from God. My challenge to you this morning, brothers and sisters, is do you consider your giants as bread given to you from God? To grow you, to develop you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. Do you consider your bread? Sorry, do you consider your giant to be your bread? David's brothers covered their eyes, both in fear and embarrassment, my guess is. Saul sighed as David races to certain death. And Goliath sees this young boy, and I'm sure he laughed. And as he laughed, David gets his stone from his satchel and throws the stone at the giant. And bang, Goliath falls crumpled to the ground. And David runs over and yanks Goliath's sword from his side and cuts off his head and picks up his head and shows it to the armies around him. You might say that David knew how to get ahead of his giant. Did you get that, Eddie? When was the last time we did the same? When was the last time you and I defeated our giant? How long since you ran towards your challenge? What we tend to do is we tend to retreat, as I said earlier. We tend to duck behind the desk at work or crawl into the pub of distraction. Or pretend it's just not there. We tend to cover it with all sorts of things. Maybe we run to a friend and share it with them and woe is me and I've got this and what about me? What about me? And you know, we have a bit of a pity party, as I call them. But you know, maybe for a moment, maybe for a day, maybe for a year, maybe we'll feel safe and maybe the problem is not there. But when the work runs out and the booze wears off, we hear Goliath all over again. Maybe what we need to do is we need to try a different tack. Rather than running to alcohol, rather than running to our friends, rather than moaning and groaning and complaining about the circumstances, rather than complaining about the work environment that we're in, maybe we need to try a different tack, hey? Because I don't know about you, but the other's just not working. It just isn't working. What we need to do is we need to amplify God and minimize Goliath. That's what David did. Amplify God and minimize Goliath. Giant of adultery, you're not entering my home. Giant of depression, you're not welcome here. It may take a lifetime, but you won't overcome me. Giant of alcohol, giant of bigotry, giant of child abuse, insecurity, gossip, fear, hopelessness, unworthiness, unforgiveness, pride, giant, you're going down. How long since you last loaded your sling and took a swipe at your giant? David made only two observations about Goliath. One was to Saul about Goliath. In verse 36, he says, I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do the same to this pagan Philistine too. One was to Goliath's face. Who are you that you should defy the armies of the living God? That's it. That is it. That's it. That's how we should defy our giants. Is by confronting them with God. He gives so much thought to God. And as we read those verses, I read 9 references to the Lord. And only 2 mention of the giant. That's 9 to 2. A ratio of 9 to 2. How about you? Is that your ratio? Do you talk more about God than your problems and your circumstances? My guess is, like me, you do it the other way. We talk more about our circumstances and our problems than actually we do about God. I want to tell you that these children that we work with in Swaziland, these communities that we go and visit. We went and visited a lady recently who had nothing. Say nothing. She had nothing in her home. In fact, Naomi mentioned it earlier. She had nothing other than dead flies on her table. And yet she had about 10, 12 children. She was a go-go, an older lady. She had nothing. And this is what we find throughout Swaziland. But yet she had everything. She was poor as poor can be. But yet she was so rich. She didn't complain. She didn't moan. She didn't say, but you know what, I've got no food in my house. You know what, my children are dying of HIV/AIDS. She didn't say that. What she said is, God is good, praise the Lord. And she meant it. It wasn't, you know, the Christian smile, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. It was real. It was real. She knew what her giants was. Of course she did. She knew that her children were battling with HIV/AIDS. She knew that she got no food. She didn't need us to tell her that. But rather than focusing on all those, she focused on the living God. Do you ponder on God's grace more than you ponder on your own issues? Do you know, church, we must all face our giants if we ever want to see victory in our lives. But we're not on our own. We are not on our own. And I encourage you, you have to face your issue. You have to face your issue. I have to face my issues. We have to face them. We can't run from them. We can't hide from them. We can't expect other people to deal with them. We can't run to the doctor and get a pill to cover this every time we have to deal with a circumstance or problem. I know depression is real. I've suffered from depression. I know many of you here have too. But let me tell you, there was no pill that got me through depression. It was God. And only God. And it was only me taking my eyes off my own circumstances and taking my eyes off my own belly button and looking at my own self and turning it and focusing on God that got me through that. And I tell you, if He can do it in me and He can do it in you for sure, I tell you that it is only the grace of God that gets our children through the horrendous circumstances, and I mean horrendous circumstances that they go through. You heard one earlier. We've got 350 other testimonies to tell you and share with you. And many more. 41% of the population of Swaziland are orphan children because their parents have all died from HIV/AIDS. 41%. That's almost half of our population of Swaziland are orphan or vulnerable children. A whole generation is wiped out because of this dreadful disease. As Joe mentioned, 38% right now living with HIV/AIDS. I could tell you testimony after testimony of the dreadful circumstances that many of them face. 9 out of 10 people die before the age of 35. Some of the children that I took into Birmingham City Centre last week said to me, Pastor Lloyd, there's so many old people. And I had to think about it. Why would they make such a comment? Because, of course, in Swaziland there are very few. Because they don't get the chance to live beyond 35. And so they're real giants. But you know what? Do you know what gets them through? God. God. And only God. And they would, if they were here today, and more blessing is here today, what they would say to you is, there is hope. There is hope. In the most dreadful, in the most hopeless of circumstances, as they have been in, God can give them hope. God gives them hope. And do you know what? If God gives them hope, He can do the same for you. He can do the same for you. Joshua knew it. Caleb knew it. David knew it. Daniel knew it. I was reading Daniel this morning. You know, he goes from being prime minister to, you know, oh. Joseph. Look at his life. Paul knew it. He was in chains, for goodness sake. And what did he say? I count it
pure joy. Because I'm not looking at these chains, I'm looking at God. God allows us to face our giants. He allows us. He allows us to go through circumstances and difficulties in our lives. I'm not saying He puts them there. I'm not saying He puts them there. But He allows them to be there. He allows them to be there for us to deal with them. For us to defeat them. And with His strength. And with His grace. To defeat them. And move into a life of victory. And if He can do that. With the children that we work with. Day in, day out. He can do that in our lives and in your lives. John 10:10 says, I've come that you may have life and life to the full. Church, are you living life? Are you living life? Or are you crushed by the giants, by the circumstances in your life? Are you living in fear of your giants? I challenge you as I challenge myself. Stop living life your way. And live His. Acknowledge, yes, there are giants. And yes, you are a grasshopper compared to these issues. Compared to these circumstances. And yes, in your own strength, you will be crushed by whatever comes against you. But you know what? God is with you. Focus on Him. Get up. Lift up your eyes. Stop moaning and groaning and ending up going around the same mountain just as the Israelites did. For 40 years, get up. Get your eyes off your own circumstances. Do you know, God says to Joshua right at the beginning when he's mourning, God says, get your face off the ground, boy. Look up. And that's what we need to do. We need to look to God because He is with us. Lift up your eyes. Be strong. Be courageous, as God told Joshua. Speak of your circumstance. It is God's desire that you defeat them. It is God's desire that they are bred for your life. That you're strengthened through them all. Defeat them. Grow and develop into the man and into the woman of God that He wants you to be. Let's stop doing it our way. Let's do it His way. And if you want to live life, and if I want to live life, and live it to the full, and enjoy it, and consider life joy, then I've got to get my eyes off myself. I've got to stop seeing the giants, and I've got to focus on God. And in His strength, I can face my giants, and I can defeat them. In His strength, by His grace, and in His name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are good. And Your love endures forever. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. And Father God, I pray for any here this morning that are experiencing difficulties. Maybe illnesses, maybe the loss of loved ones, maybe work issues, maybe unemployment. Whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that they would be able to face these issues as David faced Goliath in Your strength, knowing that they are bread, that they are going to be used for the building of our character. So, Lord, bless my brothers and my sisters, bless this church. Lord, I thank You for the support that they are to me and my family over in Swaziland. Without them, Lord, it would be very, very difficult for us to be out there. Not just practically, but also in prayer. Lord, I thank You. I praise You. I thank You for their commitment. Bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Eddie said about prayer items. If you could pray for one thing, two things perhaps. The first one is a bigger picture thing. and it's about the nation of Swaziland. If you could pray for God's will to be done in the nation of Swaziland, if you could pray for His Majesty the King, Swaziland is a kingdom. It's run by a king, His Majesty the King, Swati the Third. If you could pray for him, that God would really pour out His Holy Spirit in his life. He is a Christian. If you could pray for God's wisdom upon his throne in the kingdom of Swaziland, we would really appreciate that. And secondly, for my family, if you could pray over the next few days, as we go back, it's been lovely being back home, but God is calling us to go back to our home in Swaziland. So if you could just pray for us that we would settle back into ministry and into life, and the children particularly into their school, we would really appreciate that. And we will keep you informed with all that's going on. Bless you. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you.